Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. This show is brought to you by GoDaddy. Get your new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Use the coupon code MMO295. And by Guild Launch, slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. And by Doghouse Systems, makers of elite PC gaming machines. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and double your RAM. Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast. I am your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by two co-hosts again. This is absolute madness, guys. Derek is here.
Dude's up.
And in the other corner, ready to fight Derek to the death, Dan.
I don't know about to the death. We're going to fight to see who gets to take you on first in Hearthstone, Josh.
I'm glad to be here.
That's a deal. Playoffs.
Can I sit like a king while you two duel each other?
Apparently Josh earned a bye in this first round.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how, but I did. So thanks for giving that to me, Dan. I appreciate that.
I got to do something to stay in good graces.
Yes, of the king. Or the god emperor, as we decided last episode.
Right.
So feel free to use that title if you'd prefer, Dan.
Yes, god emperor
I won't
Josh.
Judge either way. Thank you. Both of these guys have been on the show before, and you know who they are. If you don't, they're cool dudes. You'll find out. So let's jump straight into the reason we're happy this week. I'm happy my teeth are clean. I went to the dentist this morning, and I didn't have to get anything special done. Last time I went, they shot me with lasers, so this was much better.
Nice. What in the world goes on at that hokey dentist that you go to? Lasers?
Yeah, I was promised that lasering my gums would, like, kill the germs or something that was in on them. I forget what it was, because like 6 months ago, it was like there was my gums were receding and somehow they thought shooting them with lasers would help. But it was really actually kind of disturbing because I started to smell it burning while I was sitting there because they numbed me up so I couldn't feel it. But then you just start smelling smoke and you're just like, yes, that is my flesh.
Hey, wow. Sir, your gums look bad. We have this laser we want to use.
We just need you to sign this waiver and everything will be just fine.
Yeah, and I'm like, please take my money. Yes, but hey, can you say Dan that you have been shot with lasers?
No, I haven't. See, I've never had LASIKs in my eye. Never had. I've never had lasers in my mouth or anywhere else. Thank God, I've avoided the laser for now. But once the word
is out,
though,
I'm in the future.
It's all right. It's that stuff they do on the West Coast over there.
Dan, why are you happy?
Well, I'm
happy. If it's not lasers,
well. I'm happy I found out about this laser treatment for the gums. No, I'm happy to. It's almost a holiday weekend, and you know who doesn't love a day off? More time to play Hearthstone. And for those out there that aren't in a beta, check out Soulforge, which was released last month, because that'll get your card playing fix, and it's free on the on Steam, and it's free to play on your iPad too. So until you get your beta, or until we get the release, go check that out. But once you do, play Hearthstone, because. Well, you'll just have to wait in here. And Derek, what are you happy about?
Well, apart from the fact that I've been playing Hearthstone almost every day since I got the beta key, I am happy. I also have been on vacation. I went to Texas to visit a friend. And we did a lot of hanging out, sitting in a pool, drinking margaritas all day long. So that was quite happy.
Whoa. Wow. Man, that's way better than lasers.
I think I'm going to have to take a trip from one coast to the other so that I can grab a margarita and then go get lasered.
Yes.
Do it in that order, so if you get lasered first, the margarita's just no good.
that'll numb it up. I'll smell that instead.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the lasers are what affected your finger to falling off earlier.
That's true. Yeah, during our pre-show, like... I don't know, somehow a giant thing of goo, like, it was weird thick honey, but it, like, dropped from my ceiling onto my hand, and it freaked me out. I was just, the way I described it to these guys here was, like, it was like one of those, you know, horror movies where, like, a drop of blood lands on your hand, and the person looks at it, then looks up at the ceiling, and there's a corpse. It's just like that, except there wasn't a giant corpse on my ceiling.
Are you in an apartment complex? Are there people upstairs from you?
No, I'm the top floor. Oh. I mean, there could be somebody perched out on the roof right now. I wouldn't put it past them. We're in the crazy left coast, right, Dan?
That's right.
All sorts of stuff goes on out here.
That's where the invasion apparently is going first.
Yeah, there's some sort of weird insectoid. Oh, it's probably invisible. That's probably what it is.
That's why you didn't see it hit your
hand.
But
the blood's not invisible.
No, the blood's not. Yes, thank blood God. That's out, how we're going to stop them.
Yes.
All right. So, anyways, we're all in the beta, the Hearthstone beta, and we've been playing it like crazy. So, the last show we talked about kind of our initial thoughts, but we'd only put in a couple hours into the beta at that point, and Dan wasn't even on that show. So now we've had a couple of weeks. Is it fair to say it's been like 2 weeks, right?
Yep. Yeah, because that was at Gen Con when it released, and just like I said, the second I left I left home for Gen Con, we got our beta keys.
That was perfect timing. So thank you for
Dan.
Sacrificing
no
yourself.
No problem. Yeah, my pain is your gain.
So now that we've had a couple weeks to invest into it, let's talk about kind of our findings. But of course, first I want to address, if you're sitting here listening to the podcast with bated breath or bated ears, honestly, I'm not really sure what that phrase means.
If you bait your ears, things will fall off onto your finger like goo.
So do not bait your ears. Trust me. The experience is horrible. Ugh. Anyways, if you're sitting there hoping to hear your name announced as a winner of the beta key giveaways we did, bad news. We picked the winners on Friday and contacted them all directly. So they've all been claimed.
Yeah. You should have saved that for the end of the show because about 100,000 people just shut off.
They're all just rage quitting right now. I'm out. Sorry. Yeah, so they've all been claimed. We've got 5 more Happy Hearthstoners in the beta, which I'm excited about. And Blizzard did just do another giveaway or wave of invites today. We're recording this on Tuesday. And I'm hearing more and more reports from our listeners who are getting in on their own. So if you aren't in yet, don't stress out. Stay happy. Blizzard will get you in soon.
And I'm sure Josh will use his he'll use his connections to get us some more beta keys.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. They seem pretty pretty firm that they won't be doing another giveaway like that, but I'm trying. I know. I'm putting myself out there for all you listeners. We're going to see. I think Blizzard has a pretty kind of scheduled plan about how they want to let people in. So,
cool.
But we'll see if we can sneak a couple more in, because that would be awesome. And honestly, we got so many good submissions for our contest. I want to give these people more keys. But of course, if you haven't registered for the beta at all yet, we're going to have a link in our show notes to help you out. Just go to gamediplomat.com, find this episode. It's in all of the Happy Hearthstone episodes. Just right up top says, you know, click this to register for beta. Do that if you haven't already.
We need more people in so that we can actually beat someone, because once they get in after a day or two, they beat us.
Yeah.
Preferably if you're bad at card games, get into the beta. Maybe add us as a friend.
Challenge us
packs.
That should have been one of the challenges to get a beta key, was to play us in some random game, and if you lose, then we'll give you a beta key so we can beat you.
Oh, wise, yeah. Oh, we should have done that. Oh, man, League of Legends, Dan, we could have taken these guys.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, although a couple listeners have already hooked up with me in League of Legends, too, so I don't know. We've got a diverse crowd listening to this show. I like that.
That's solid.
All right, so before we get into our thoughts, we got to talk about some of these contest submissions I mentioned. So the first thing we did was we asked people to send in their favorite, their cards, what card they wanted to play and why. Some of these are incredible. I just have to share them. Dan, I know you're married.
Very happily.
Very happily.
11 years.
Good. But Derek, have you ever been in love, sir?
I also am married.
You're married?
Years,
okay.
Yep. Married.
Excellent.
With 3 kids. So, yeah.
I'm not going to be the one to tell your wife, but you did avoid saying if you've ever been in love.
Well, you know. So,
I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right. Good. Because this is going to make all of us.
Josh, you haven't been married long enough to actually enjoy
that. There you
that
go.
Joke.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, I'm about to hit my, is it 2 or 3? I think 3-year anniversary.
Oh.
In September, and we're going to Hawaii, which is going to be rad.
Well, nice. if you have her cocooned to the ceiling, I don't know how long you'll be able to get that. I'm never going to let that joke go. I'm sorry. It'll get old eventually.
No, it'll be years before it does, so keep it going. Especially once Jenna hears it and then starts wondering why I'm talking about cocooning her to the ceiling. It'll be great. All right, so this one is going to make all you sentimental dudes cry out there, and ladies. Sentimental dudes and sentimental ladies. So Jake Taylor wrote in, I'm not going to read all these because frankly some of these letters are quite long, but Jake Taylor wrote in to talk about how he'd recently gotten married to his wife, or to his girlfriend of 10 years. You know, they had been planning their wedding, you know, traveling around the country, all this sort of stuff. He's trying to do games to kind of keep himself distracted, because I think she's traveling. Is that what it was?
Yep, she's in school in the Caribbean.
Thank you. Yeah, she's in school in the Caribbean. Yeah, so he has to keep himself distracted while his new wife is, you know, totally far away. Thank you, Dan. Way to read. I'm impressed.
No problem, man.
So he talks about how, like, he wants to get the key because he's missing his wife all hours of the day, he said. When we met, we were 16 and have been together since. It's very strange having someone in your life like that every day and then suddenly they aren't around anymore. So that was touching. I don't know about you guys. No? No tears on your
end? I would tear up in a second. I'm a big softy. Just the idea of not seeing my wife for 3 days every week this summer is hard enough. I can imagine her being gone in school for that much time.
Yeah, and he said they'd been together every day basically for like 12 years. Like, crazy.
Let me tell you, if she waited 10 years to get married, that is one patient woman.
Well, you know what's funny? My wife waited, what was it, 9 years?
Wow.
8 or 9 years? Yeah.
Yeah, but she knew what she was getting into. The life of a journalist, that's waiting.
That's true.
That's patience.
Yeah. All right, Jim Beverly also wrote in, another romantic, I must add. He wanted to play a light well because his girlfriend, also turned wife recently, always drops one for him when they play together in WoW. It's become an inside joke for them where he plays a warlock, she plays a priest,
Here,
and
honey,
she always drops the light well. I know.
I made this light well for you.
Hey, if it keeps their marriage together, I'm not going to judge.
Well, I want to find out how he got her to play WoW in the first place.
Yeah, that's more important. Let's figure that part out.
Okay, sorry. I clipped the wrong part of his email. I'm sorry, guys. I'll forward it to you later. Jim Beverly, maybe he can write in and, you know, tell us the full story. Maybe get his wife to chime in, too.
Please clarify how we can make more chicks play video games.
It is an important step. I think Hearthstone's going to be a big part of that. But let's get through some of these more letters before we get into that. I was super impressed by this, whether it's true or not, and he even freely admits that, you know, he knows that we may not believe him. Mike Phillips says he was a part of the guild that became famous for that raid leader, you know, the more dots guy.
Oh.
No way. That's hard to believe.
So he has names and stuff here, so, I mean, we could fact check it. I just don't want to. But if one of you guys wants to, that's great, but...
Now, yeah, we'll have the suspension of disbelief. We'll just say, Mike,
yes,
you're a patient man for sticking up with, we're putting up with that raid leader.
Yeah, so he talks about how he wants to play, I think he wants to play on Onyxia, because obviously he talks about that and he kind of describes how the night went and the whelp groups and all that sort of stuff and about how they went on to, you know, clear different things. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Whether it's true or not, who knows? But another kind of impressed, this is another one, take it with a grain of salt. Maybe we can debate which one's more likely. This guy wrote in and said, the card I'm most excited for is Harrison Jones. Since that happens to be my actual name, I will feel like a complete boss laying that down, he says. That seems... His email did say Harrison Jones.
That's
so
pretty
he would
cool.
have had to make an email account just for this if he is trying to mess with us.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to have a card named after me in a game.
I know, wouldn't that be sweet? Man... What would you want the card to be? I want it to be like a card that somehow just really makes the opponent angry. Like, and one of those cards that, like, you know, freezes all enemies. I would like that.
Well, just have it kind of like a, you know, 10 damage to all enemies. Is that a, I mean, you'd want the ultimate card that's banned.
No, I wouldn't want to kill them. I just want them to freeze them so they have to stare at them but can't use them.
Permafreeze.
Yeah, permafreeze. There we go. Even better.
I gotta say real quick, I did in one of my arena matches, I did draft Onyxia, and man, like I got lucky enough to have like a 3 legendary selection, and one of them was Onyxia, and I almost pretty much put the blinders on instead of grabbing Onyxia and playing it.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, it was. I got to play Onyxia. I actually got to resolve the card during gameplay. And
really?
I had a completely open board, so I don't know. I guess let me give some people a heads up, like, what the card even does. So it's a creature. It's an 8/8 creature, dragon. It costs 9 mana to play, and its battle cry is you get to summon a 1/1 whelp on your side of the battlefield until your side of the battlefield is full.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a clear board, out comes Onyxia, an 8/8, and what is it? I think there's seven minions.
Seven minions, yeah.
So six other 1/1s. Just load the board up, and now you're going to go. And all that for 9 mana. And I was laughing hysterically when I did that. I was just like, what is this person, you know, feeling right now? Probably not so happy.
Yeah, because they're seeing your empty board and being like, all right, well, at most he can play, you know, he only has two cards in his hand. And he's like, nope, board full.
Yes, and every time you attack with any card in the game, they all have, like, emotes and things that they say. But Onyxia has, I can't even remember what the emote is. I wish I could. It's so hilarious. It's something like, I'm the most powerful thing in the world kind of thing. And so every time you swing and hit them in the face with that card, you're just dying of laughter because you're like, oh, here comes another 8 damage, and it's saying something very mean. Oh, it's awesome. It was great.
Wow.
I want more emotes in the game. There's 6 emotes. I just want a few more.
Oh, from your hero, yes. But
yeah.
I'm talking like
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to change subject on
when
that.
When your card attacks, each card has a specific like sound they make. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on the emotes. I don't know. Because I feel like people are taunting me with the emotes sometimes. Because, like, I'll make a bad move or something, and then they'll do the oops thing. And I just want, like, a button that's like, you're a jerk. You're a jerk. You're a jerk.
Or if I'm playing a little slow, they'll keep greeting me. Like, hello. Hello. Hello.
That's funny.
I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm a little slow sometimes.
I haven't gotten that yet. I just try and avoid the emotes because I know I'm a troll kind of at heart. But I'm trying to suppress that nature. So I know that if I just avoid the emotes, it's better that way. So I don't start, you know, being a jerk.
I've also had, though, a lot of games where I get, you know, it's actual, like, you know, you're saying oops if you make a mistake, and they're like, you know, they're saying, you know, well played or whatever when you do something good. So I've actually had a few games where that's actually gone off like that, and it almost feels like you're chatting in a kind of a cordial way, which is, I actually kind of dig it.
I want the I'm an idiot emote because, you know, sometimes yes. when you've got 2 mana left and you don't use your hero ability and you're like, oh, yes. man.
Yeah, I guess that's the oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be honest. I just really want a troll hero because, like, I tried playing the priest and all the emotes just drove me crazy. It's that little boy and it's just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this. I'm a horde player. Anyways, all right. Another thing I was pretty impressed by. This one is funny. And please, feel free to interject with card stuff along the way, too. I like that. This one was awesome, and I can relate to it. He's a rogue, and he's telling you, know, back in the day when everyone was raiding Molten Core and WoW, all the rogues would constantly fight over who had the highest DPS, right? And all the DPS classes would, because that's the only way you could survive, you know, 10 hours of raiding, was by creating minigames like that. And they're fighting Baron Geddon. Mm. And Bindings of the Windseeker drop.
Ooh.
If you guys remember, this
was half the legendary, yep.
Yeah, half the legendary, which, you know, some people are still trying to farm to this day and haven't gotten. So this is like a huge drop. The fight had just ended, obviously, because the loot dropped. But he had the bomb debuff on him, where the bomb debuff, it ticks down, and then after it ticks, it explodes. And at the time, it was enough damage to basically wipe anybody near you, just kill him instantly. And he got so distracted by the bindings that he turned around and ran towards them to try and loot them, because he had won them, because he was next in line or whatever. And he wiped the entire raid of 39 other people.
Oh, wow.
He says, like, he was on voice chat. He says his eyes instantly, like, bugged out and he went silent. And then one of the guild masters shouts over vent. This guy's name is Blake. Shouts, oh, Blake wins the meters, because all the damage from that actually counted towards his DPS, and it skyrocketed him to the top of the DPS chart.
Not a good way to win the meters, though.
Yeah, not a good way. Not a good way to make friends. He loved it, and so that's why I wanted to play Baron Geddon, to try and relive that over and over, which I thought was funny. And then another one wanted to play Baron Geddon, Helios. I don't know how to pronounce this. I don't know. Helios says, my favorite card is Baron Geddon. It actually became a religion for me. I pray to him every day and hope to be able to see his bright light one day. In Geddon we trust. So that's kind of crazy. But Berengarin, these are the last letters, then we'll get into the stuff. I know people are dying. Murlocs had the largest following of anyone in our writing submission. Fangorn said, I can't wait to get my papers on old Murky Eye because...
You know what's crazy? Is I think you actually spelled it correctly. Your spell check did not find that word as a misspelling, so you finally figured out how to spell the sound that Murlocs make.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Wow.
That was Fangorn. I can't even take credit for that. Fangorn, well done.
Way to look that up and actually spell that correctly according to
all
dictionaries.
Because the next person that tried it, Ian Parks, his is totally marked for spell checking.
Exactly. And in all caps.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so and then Ian Parks wrote in and basically... he wrote in to say that he just loves Murlocs because Murlocs, you know, are kind of victims out there, and that it's never just one Murloc. They're just trying to live their life, and they will run. He says, point them in the direction of some man flesh, or orc flesh, dwarf flesh, any kind of flesh. They aren't particular, and let the pain commence. Is good. And oh yeah, and then
have you guys been using Murlocs a whole lot in game?
I don't like them.
No beasts.
Yeah,
hunters and beasts decks are awesome.
I mean, there's a couple of Murlocs that give you all of the Murlocs have plus one attack is the Grimscale Oracle.
I've had that deck played against me, and I've had that Oracle come out, and he had two of the Oracles combined with some of the Murlocs, and it was brutal. He just ran me over. But I don't know. It seems like you have to put so many non-Murloc cards in the deck that it's not very reliable.
I just don't know if any of them are good enough because. There's the Coldlight Oracle, and each player draws two cards. Why would you ever use that?
Yeah.
I mean, you never want to give somebody something for free.
Yeah.
So, sorry to derail. It was something that I was wondering, because I keep getting these Murloc cards, and I'm like, I'm never putting those in my deck.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, right? And I like the idea. I like the idea that there's almost a deck that's outside of the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more of that. But because you're locked into a hero choice, so many of your cards are tied to that hero because there's no neutral spells, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't get Murloc-themed spells or anything.
I did all right with hunters and beasts, though. I was able to get a sufficient amount of beasts in my deck to make it feel like it was actually a sub-theme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been running... I don't know if we want to wait till later to get into like what we've been running primarily, but I've been running a trap beast-heavy deck.
Oh, so good. So nice. Good. All right. Let's wrap up these letters.
Go ahead, man.
Because I just got to give credit to Jeremy Hoyston, who he was the one, sorry, I misspoke for Ian Parks. Jeremy Hoyston wrote a touching letter about how the Murlocs, they cry for peace. They cry for a home. They cry for vengeance. Basically saying how Murlocs are just constantly killed all over the entire planet, and all they want to do is kind of, you know, live their lives.
So... You know, I don't know if I agree with that, because you give a Murloc just an inch, and he'll stab you in the back just like anybody else.
Yep.
I think Jeremy would debate that point with you.
We can debate it over a game of Hearthstone.
That's true. All right. get in the beta, Jeremy, and hit up Dan. Bring your Murloc deck. He'll bring his no Murloc deck. Duke it out. But the winner, I have to point out, was... Jean Jose? Is that Jean?
Could be Jean.
Jean Jose or Jean Jose?
Depends on how French they are, I guess.
Yeah. If all future emails could just include a percentage of Frenchness
or a pronunciation guide for all names.
I like percentage of Frenchness.
I like percentage of Frenchness.
Yeah, I like that
too.
Too.
I feel
that
like we'll
funny.
Learn more about them that way. That'd be good. All right. Yeah, and so he or she. Awesome.
Can you read it in French? Read it with French accent.
I want you to read it with a French accent. You teased us with your French accent right there. I must
hello,
more.
Fine sir. I would like to start this message by thanking you for doing a giveaway. So
this is the French guy from Monty Python, right?
You silly English kniggets. It's okay. I mean, he's probably hating us now. He's like the winner, and we're totally. Oh, jeez.
No, he's not hating anything. He's a winner. He won't.
Yes,
he won't hate anything.
No, he won't hate it. And I have to say, what did he say? Yeah. He actually uses the phrase, but the Frenchies are right, we need to eat them. And he's talking about frogs. So he can't be that upset about talking about French people, right?
Oh, look at that. Yep.
Yeah, that...
Frenchies are right.
Says it actually tastes really good.
I bet you
good,
he's French.
And
look at that.
Prevent
I called
us.
It.
And he describes them as those nasty half-fish, half-mammal, but fully evil. So
I'm guessing
French-Canadian like
is what I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah. That's be what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the letters. Thanks for sending them in. We actually got over 600. I read all of them, which took forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
you
put those stats up. You put those stats up of everything you got. I mean, the Google Plus community grew.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
So the retweets on the tweet was about 2,000.
Jeez.
The comments on the site was about 2,000 as well. The Google Plus community, I'm pulling that up real fast. Yeah, we got like 600 emails of people listing their favorite cards. We got probably about 30 song submissions. We asked people to make a new
cool
song of the week. Yeah, which is incredible. And we got about 1,500 community. I'm pulling that up real fast. Yeah, we got like 600 emails of people listing their favorite cards. We got probably about 30 song submissions. We asked people to make a new
cool
song of the week. Yeah, which is incredible. And we got about 1,500 members in the Google Plus community. So these are people that are still in there talking about the game, which I'm really excited about. Because, you know, retweeting a tweet, whatever, that's fine. It helped get more people, you know, into the show. But getting people in this Google Plus community, I'm excited because now everyone's talking with each other and talking about the game and what we're doing. It's really cool. So, yeah, anyways.
I've been thinking of doing a little, like, a diary on that Google Plus. I might start in a community. I might start doing a little bit of that, just kind of listing how we've done and each time we log in. That would probably be pretty cool. I don't know if that would annoy people or if people would like that or not. Just if they want to... They want to post a little thing and say that would be cool, and they would want to see that.
Yeah. So if you think that's a cool idea, post in the Google Plus community. Let Dan know. Let all of us know. And if there's anything else you can think of that you'd want, you know, going on in there, I know we want to set up a tournament. We just have to kind of figure out the best way to do it.
Yes.
Because there's nothing in the game, so we have to kind of organize it ourselves. But it seems totally worth it.
Josh, you got a bunch of people that you know that are probably in there. You could probably get us get a good email thread going, and we can figure out who plays who and get a little bracket going. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, you're the geek jock blog. You have to have brackets and stuff, right?
Oh, I could set up. You give me names, I'll set up a bracket.
Okay, cool, dude. It's a deal. We'll get that set up.
I'll even get the seating down and everything.
Yeah, I'll make a post on the blog as well, gamediplomat.com, or if you're in the Google Plus community, and I'll Twitter it out and all that sort of stuff. So if you're in the beta, you want to get involved, I'll start like a thread to start talking about as well. But let's talk about the beta, because we've spent too much time not talking about the beta. Right up front, have you spent any money yet? I'm going first. No. I keep saying I'm going to do the $50 live stream. I just haven't had time. So I'm going to force myself to do the $50 live stream right after we record this tonight. So by the time you hear this, I'll have spent $50, and that'll get me 40 packs.
Nice.
Wow. What about you, Dan?
I actually have spent $50 the second I logged in.
Good man.
And I got, what is it, the 40 packs?
Yeah.
And I've actually did not open every single one of them. I've probably opened about 12 or 13, and you get awarded some while you're playing. So I've opened a few more. I've been trying to save some for when I do be able to get, when I am able to stream, so that I can open like 10 packs so people can see what I get and stuff like that. So that's kind of probably why I got a decent hunter deck. I got lucky and I got two explosive traps like right off the bat.
Oh, nice.
And boy, was I happy to see those two.
that's awesome. That card is very, very powerful.
So good. What about you, Derek?
So here's my thing. So I haven't spent any money in game yet, but I probably will at some point, just because I'll probably spend at least something because they are going to give you that promo item for doing so. If you spend at least, you know, if you buy probably a pack or something, like at least something, you will get your money back when the game starts, so you can just rebuy packs when the game starts for real. But you can
also or buy Forge entry.
Yes.
Or sorry, Arena entry.
Yes, something like that. I'll do something. I probably will buy like some packs, just for the fun of it. But I have to say, at least for those in the audience that are kind of like holding up for, I don't want to spend a lot of money for this game, I want to keep it free thing, I haven't had to spend money yet. Like, I have had so much fun. Every night I'm like, dude, counting the seconds until I can get on just to play, just because the game is that fun. So, in terms of, like, the fun factor, am I running out of things to do? No way! Just by playing the game and having fun, I've been and loving it somewhere. So,
not yet. I don't know. I definitely agree with the fun part of that, like, 1,000% how much fun it is. I just don't know if I would have won, like, anywhere near the PvP games that I did without opening any packs.
Yeah.
Like, just leveling up my hunter and getting the free cards. I mean, I guess it's possible. It all depends on how they're, you know, I'm not even quite sure how the matchmaking goes, like, how
yeah,
it exactly.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, I mean, I've gotten some pretty good cards, and then also, although the card they give you for buying stuff, the gnome, what's his name? It's a six
Goblin
cost.
Goblin Electromancer? Is that, no, I'm thinking magic.
It's Gelbin Mechatork.
Yeah.
He's a 6/6/4/6, and his battle cry is Summon an Awesome Invention.
Yep, I had a person play that on me, so that card does exist in-game at the moment, unless it was an employee account.
Or yeah, I've had it a couple times. I think I've only actually gotten something that's helped me once, like, because it's got, like, a... I'm trying to remember. I'm sure someone's going to correct us on and tell us exactly everything that it... Because I was trying not to look it up, because I figured it would be fun to be surprised when you see what it can summon. Like, one of them, like, transport a random thing into a chicken. A random minion to a chicken, which it's always my minion. It's all like every single time. It's no matter how many minions are against me, it's always ends up being mine. Then I think there's one that it's a healing. I want to say a healing bot that heals everybody for 2 at the end of your turn, and that stinks because I don't want it to heal the other guys. And I think there's one that also gives +1/+1 to one random minion at the end of your turn.
Yeah, that's the one. I've had it played against me 3 times, and all 3 times they've gotten that one, and it keeps giving it to my minion, which is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it almost never benefits me, except for the fact that it's a 6/6/4/6, which is, you know, solid.
Yeah. Yeah, the card itself is solid, and then the rest is just kind of gravy. And even if you're, like, super worried about that invention... Like, if you're worried about it benefiting the enemy, you can just, like, run it into something to kill it.
Yeah.
So.
We're just sitting here talking, like, you're talking about how much fun everything is. It's like, I just want to say, did you see this card? Have you played this card?
Oh,
did you see,
you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into the coolest cards we've unlocked so far.
Yes.
So these are cards outside of the basic decks. What's the coolest thing you've unlocked?
Well, one of the coolest things, and I'm sorry, Derek, I don't mean to jump in front of you in case you were going to say something. Have you guys gotten many cards that have, I guess they're the epic cards that have motion on them?
No.
Oh, I've gotten some gold cards?
Yeah, when it's gold cards, I don't have any epics yet, but some of my gold cards do have, like, an animation on them rather than a static picture.
Yeah, I'm not sure what epics, I'm not sure, what, oh, I guess they have that different gem in the middle to say
they're
epics.
Yeah, it's just a rarity level, yeah.
But yeah, I've got like Lightning Storm for the Shaman. It's it has like the lightning bolts are going off and there's a swirling.
Wow.
I think I've got 3 different cards that have animation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Because I've got Mass Dispel, the Lightning Storm, and there's one other. It's another dispel that I can't seem to find.
Man, I can't wait to finish this podcast so I can go open packs and go cool cards.
You're going to love it. Even the exercise of opening packs itself, they made it as a super fun experience.
Yeah, I opened one pack just to kind of get to do that. So my pool that I can pick from is quite small. I have 5 cards. But I think the coolest card I've gotten so far is Big Game Hunter.
Nice.
And this guy is a 3-mana 4/2, which is solid on its own, but its battle cry is destroy a minion with an attack of 7 or more. So I pretty much just kind of keep him in my hand for late game, and then just once they play their big bomb, just like kill the guy, just get rid of it.
Yeah, that's a good thing to keep because you always end up getting those bombs that get dropped on you when you've got like nothing in hand. It's the hardest thing to hold back.
It is. I know. I've wanted to play it so many times, and every time I do play it, I always regret it. Because, I mean, it only has 2 health. It gets killed really fast. Like, it doesn't do much. But and then they play, you know, their giant monstrosity, and I cry myself to sleep.
See, Josh, the good thing about buying the $50 40 packs, and I'll tell you the one thing that's going to seal it for you. It's double your worth, because not only do you get to open, you get the Christmas of opening 40 packs now, you'll get the Christmas of Hoping 40 packs when they release as well.
Yep.
That is true. But see, I think I'm going to use most of that money for Arena. I'm just going to grind out the Arena, and then if it goes poorly, then I can, you know, just keep going. I think that's what I want to do. I just want to play the Arena all day, every day.
It's so hard. I loved Arena, but man, I got beat down the first time I played it.
Yeah. All right, Dan. So we know you love Explosive Trap. What's the other cool card you've gotten?
Well, I'll tell you one of the big reasons why I love Explosive Trap, and it's because I got two of them right off the bat. So like when I was playing early, when you drop the first Explosive Trap out and it kills a couple people, and then you put another secret out, they're like, surely he doesn't have another Explosive Trap. And then it opens up, and you could just feel their heart going into their feet when the second one goes off. But of course I love Multi-Shot, because there's nothing like, you know, even though it says 3 damage to 2 random enemy minions, you're really putting it out there when you know you're going to kill at least 2 things or 2 big, you know, 3 health of a minion is pretty high, especially mid game a lot of times. So that's usually, especially if you're getting rid of something with taunt.
I don't mind the randomness of multi-shot. Like, so if there's 3 targets, you don't know if it's which 2 of the 3 it's going to hit. But you couldn't cast it if there was only 1 creature.
Yes.
Out.
Yep. That
bumped
that
me out.
That surprised me, and it actually made me lose a game.
I just needed to kill one dude. Because that was the one guy on their side that was causing me problems, and he had like 3 life left. Could have killed him. I didn't mind not using the other half of multi-shot, but it doesn't work when there's only 1 target. And I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah, there's still some wording like that that's still really confusing to me, because it should say something like, if there are 2 minions or something like that, you know, like some sort of qualifier.
Yeah, target 2 minions and then do 3 damage to something like,
That's just stuff I guess we'll learn kind of as it goes.
Yep.
And that's the sort of stuff that I'm excited, now that we're in the beta, we can, you know, talk with authority on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Because some of the words were kind of ambiguous. Like, I would not have guessed that just based on, you know, reading the card.
Right.
So I'm glad that we're in there. Derek, what do you like?
I have a few cards that I like. One of them I just opened, but I'll get to that in a sec. One of the first cards I thought was kind of neat is, I think it's one of the cards you can unlock from building up your mage deck. Is called Water Elemental. I think this card's sweet. It's a minion that's a 3/6 minion, so it's already sizable. But anytime it hits a creature for damage, that creature gets frozen. And effectively, what that means is that they're basically unusable on that player's next turn. So if it's not a perfect removal spell, but it's doing 3 damage to it off the bat already, and it's going to lock it down, because sometimes having that one extra turn where it's going to do nothing is going to mean a big deal.
Yeah. And honestly, a 4 mana for a 3/6 is pretty solid
already. Exactly. Yeah. On its own, the vanilla count, is on this guy is just fine. I'll take a 3/6 for 4 any day, and then the rest is just all upside. Another awesome card that I've opened is it's for rogues. It's called Conceal. Normally I don't like these zero costing cards, but they have their place, I guess, in the rogue decks. But it's a spell for 0 mana, but it gives your minions stealth until next turn. And so one of the things that I've been trying to work on in this game is to try and find ways to keep my guys around for an extra turn or two, because they tend to get wiped almost right after they've got played. They don't live for very many turns, but giving, if you have a creature on the board that if he sticks around his benefit gives, all my guys extra +1/+1 or something like that, all those kinds of things, to guarantee that they stick around one extra turn, or if they keep, I've found so much value in stuff like that. Another one that's just a nice buff card is called Mark of Nature. Again, I like it because it's cheap. It's only 3 mana, but you can. It's one of these choose one cards. So you can either give a minion +4 attack, which is sizable, and that's permanent, right? So these are permanent. This is a permanent 4 attack. So if you've got taunt creatures out to block for it, giving something 4 attack is going to be very, very beneficial. On the defensive side, if you need to kind of hang on longer, you can give a target minion 4 health and taunt. So just making it all that harder for it to get removed. So I've gotten some good legwork out of that card.
Yeah, that's a pretty hefty one because I'm sorry, Derek. I was just going to agree with you on that Mark of Nature because Taunt is so huge in the game because spending on some of the decks that you get, if you can only get one or two things out there, if you're stuck there with no Taunt, you're just a sitting duck.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I've noticed that. Like, I'll have a full board of non-Taunts, and they don't. Sometimes they just don't care because they can hit me for 7 or 8 or 9, and then that brings me that much closer to death. So. The last one that I just opened or unlocked, I don't know which is it, probably, I don't know, probably an unlock, but is a druid card. It's called Ironbark Protector. He's a great top-end card because he's an 8/8 minion that he costs 8 mana to bring out, and he's got taunt. So this is going to require removal on their end, and if they don't have any removal left because it's too late in the game, then he's going to lock up the board for at least a turn, if not two, while you're just pouncing on them closer to death. He's my favorite top-end card in my whole set right now.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I haven't seen him, but that does sound awesome.
Yeah, if we're talking just kind of basic cards too, like, I know this isn't the most powerful, but I've really grown to love it. The Novice Engineer.
Yep.
2 mana, a 1/2, Battlecry, draw card.
Yep.
I'm just really starting to love cards that draw cards.
Yes.
Because I'm not running into fatigue almost ever.
Yeah,
like,
I've never
seen fatigue
yet.
That's not a problem. Yeah, so drawing a card is not a penalty. This is basically like just an extra card. I love it. And a 1/2 early on can be used to chip away, you know, at totems or at small things, or at very worst, you know, get a couple damage in.
That's a really good point because for me, one of the strategies I've been trying to work out is early on, when my hand is smaller, I'm trying to conserve cards and try to use my hero ability as often as possible, just to kind of, so I don't, like, run out of steam too quickly.
Yeah.
And this guy kind of makes you feel better by, you know, still drawing a card that replaces him in your hand in an event where you may not actually get to play your hero ability.
Yeah. He definitely brings something. There's a big meta that's already starting with the whole draw. It's a CCG meta. I mean, right away, you know, that's how, like, it's a big Magic thing. It's a big thing in deck builders where drawing cards is huge. Like, that's just kind of a Magic the Gathering mindset. You want to get as much to use in your hand. So if we start getting too much with that CCG heavy meta, are we putting the casual player already in a backseat? And isn't that where the whole idea of Hearthstone is for the casual player, with a competitive, you know, element to it? I get scared about
million,
that.
If they get a million players, then maybe at the end of the day it won't matter.
True.
Or maybe there's matchmaking based on what they can consider as the internal power level of your deck or something.
Because we're already starting to see where every deck has the same few cards in it. You've got a couple of those. The 1/2s with draw. You've got that the other troll that's got the 3/5 taunt.
3/5 taunt, yeah.
Yeah.
Senjin Warrior or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you're starting to see the same cards.
Healer troll as well.
Oh yeah, what is
he's a witch doctor or something, and when he
the voodoo doctor.
Voodoo doctor.
Yeah.
He's 2/1 minion, and he
restore 2 health.
Yep, exactly.
So
yeah,
it's
Senjin's Shield Master. With an A at the end, not ER. 3/5 taunt for 4 mana.
Can I bring up one more that I've kind of love? One of the coolest cards that I also, I guess it kind of fits in the same thing because you see almost every deck has the Gurabashi Berserker.
Yeah.
It's the 2/7 that anytime he gets damaged, he gets +3 attack permanently.
I am not sold on this guy.
Oh, like, man. It's crazy good.
In the priest deck, absolutely. But
yes.
In any other deck,
in a mage deck. You can attack him yourself and pump him up.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yep. And any deck that runs that 2/1 Witch Doctor healer guy, right? You can hit something for 2, kill it. You may take 2 damage, but immediately heal yourself. I've seen people, I think it's a priest card where you make your offense match your defense.
Yeah.
And so you bring him out as a 2/7 and poof, he's a 7/7. You're like, oh, this is not good.
And then you make him a 10/7.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a 10/6. But it's not good. I mean, he's very much a constructed game.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I really shy away from cards where you have to build so many other cards around them. Like, and to me, Gurabashi Berserker isn't a good card on its own. And I don't want to play two bad cards that make a good combo. I want to play two good cards that make a good combo.
Well, here's why he is a good card, Josh. And this is a good debate, too. The reason why he is a good card, because he makes your opponent deal with him right away. Because if you don't, you're going to beat him. Because you could just throw him willy-nilly at whatever you want. Because he's already got two attack and seven health. So people aren't going to remove him that quickly. So they're probably going to lose two things or a couple of spells at him. So you can't really attack him until you can kill him all at once, because or else they're going to throw you right back at him.
Yeah, and that's true.
I mean, he might be the vanilla test. I think he's one underpowered, because you know you kind of figure take the mana, double it, and that's kind of what the plus for the both things. So 2/7 and he's a 5 cost. I don't know. I haven't thrown him in very many of my decks, and I think that's probably just oversight on my part, but I hate it when I see him come out, because he's just a problem against me. That's why, I mean, you have a good point that you almost have to build around him, but really, you can just throw him out there and let somebody else worry about it.
Yeah, that's true, and I'm starting to start to see cards that are almost always 2-for-1s and trying to value those more. Like the first one that comes to mind is what is the name? It's the mechanical guy that Death Rattle, he summons a 2/1. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, it's what are you talking about? The Dragonling mechanic? She summons a 2/1 mechanical Dragonling.
No, it's basically like a harvester.
Oh, he's got the Death Rattle where he summons it, correct?
Yeah.
He's the Harvest Golem for 3. He gets summon a 2/1 damaged golem, and he's 2/3 for 3. He's a Harvest
Golem.
Thank
you. Yep. Yeah, like that card, it's like almost impossible to not 2-for-1 with that card. And the idea for 2-for-1 is that your one card will kill 2 of their cards. Like, because you're dealing 2 damage, then 2 damage again, guaranteed. Like, and I don't know, do you guys... Is that kind of the test when you look at cards? Because I've heard that talked about a lot. You know, like, oh, the ability to 2-for-1 is really important.
Of course.
Is that how you judge?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that the primary way you judge cards?
Just how many
enemy cards it can take out?
So the term used for that kind of stuff is with that 2-for-1-ing and all that kind of stuff is really ultimately boiling down to card advantage, right? Mm-hmm. So you could get whenever... I guess if you think of all things being equal, and you're sitting across from an opponent that's equally matched, right? The thing that's going to set you apart is seeing more of your cards and getting to play more of your cards. That's at the end of the day, that's going to be the thing that tips the scales. Mm-hmm. So anything that gives you card advantage, whether you can get card draws, you can summon more creatures for free, you can dig through your deck faster, you can any of that kind of stuff that gives you card advantage is going to break the tie, and that's what's gonna. Those are the margins that you can play in card games like this, and that's. I rate that very personally, very highly on evaluation for cards.
All right, yeah. Because that's my current, like, just to be totally honest with you guys, like, that's where my mind is currently. I'm trying to figure out which cards are good at 2-for-1, and seeing if I can just if by focusing just on that, I can pick the right neutral minions and stuff like that. So Derek, I know you value minions a lot.
Yes.
Because Dan was talking about how valuable taunt and drawing is. Do you kind of agree with him that draw and taunt are so good that that's kind of what we need to do?
I've noticed in games. So when I'm struggling, I'm doing one of the following, which is hurting me the most, right? Either I'm not playing enough minions, period, or I'm not playing enough taunt minions, or same thing, but I'm basically just not, I'm not able to keep my board loaded, or I'm not attacking profitably into their minions, I guess is a better way to say it, right? Because like if I'm constantly behind on board state, that's the games where I'm just like, oh crap, all of a sudden they play more creatures or more minions, some of them have charged, then they just buff everybody and swing, and there goes half my health. So the part of the game that has really kind of stood out to me that, like, if I were to play a game right now and build a deck or something, I want to make sure... I don't know what the right ratio is, but I definitely need more minions than I've been... I've been trying to make a 50-50 deck, and that's just not working.
Yeah, I really want to do... a shaman deck. This is the next deck I'm building. I'm building a shaman deck that is all just about stuffing minions on the board and then doing stuff, you know, like raid leader and the Stormwind champion that, you know, give +1/+1 to all minions and just, you know, slapping that totem button every turn.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you, Derek, where it seems like when I am losing, it's usually one of those few ways where, like, all of a sudden I'm just out of taunt or I'm just not drawing any of the minions. You know, I think and I'm sorry for people, we're going back to Magic again. You know, it's kind of like, what is it, the 40% rule in Magic still, where you got to have like 40% creatures on top of your mana? You know, you right. have like the 40% land, 40% creatures kind of deal. Like, I'm trying to find what that balance is, and it's probably got to be, I'm guessing it has to be character dependent or class dependent.
You know, yeah, some of them. Yeah, because I mean, I've seen mage decks that have so few creatures, but their spells are just out of control. And they're, you know, the deal six damage, transform sheep, arcane missiles. And it's just like, they don't need creatures because all my creatures are worthless.
You know, and trying to come
mage
up with good.
The exception to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you come up with a good gimmick deck, I think you can do that with a mage. And I tried to draft that. That was my first arena, was a mage. And I had this whole frost thing going on where I was going to get everybody frosted and I was going to Ice Lance everybody. I think that's what it was, Ice Lance, where if something's frosted, it's dead. I was kind of doing the whole thing. And then I just drew none of those, ever. Like, in the three matches, I was like, I got nothing that I could freeze people or Ice Lance them ever. And I had, like, four. Somehow, I think when you draft, you can have more than what your normal deck would. I think the arena, you can have more in your deck than normal.
Yeah, you can.
So, like, I just had a whole bunch of Ice Lances, and I never got them. So, you still get that luck of the draw in some of them, but it's fun to come up with a good, good underlying concept. We were talking about hunters with beast deck and things like that, and mage is going to be fun for just, it's just going to be a chaos rush deck, I think, a lot of times, and just control. Have you guys noticed things that are almost completely opposite of what you had thought would be fun? Like, for instance, I hate the idea of overload, but when my second, and I'm actually 1-0 in my second arena, it's with a shaman, and I just found that, like, I don't care about overload anymore, because either the thing that you used is so underpriced that the overload is okay, or it just, the mana just seems to come, or, you know, mana crystals just seem to come a lot faster than it feels like.
It's seeing you're guaranteed to gain one every turn, so it's not so bad.
Yeah, to me, I thought overload was crazy powerful, and I love it still just as much. I think it's one of the most powerful things in the whole set.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought it was going to be a big crippler to the shaman, because you throw something out there with overload of one or two, and you're just crippling yourself for the next turn.
Yeah, on turn three, but not on turn seven, right?
Right. Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, especially some of them early. Some of them early can be, you can almost feel devastating, but it's all kind of, I mean, I guess that's part of the whole strategy of it is knowing when you could throw out something with overload and when you shouldn't.
Yeah, because to me they're so underpriced that it's okay, because you're basically sacrificing your turn four, but you're really getting turn four a turn early is what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting it. So you're sacrificing turn three, and it's like, oh, well, you weren't going to do much with it anyways. But
yeah.
All right.
And in the same thing, Josh, I'm sorry, did you want to move on?
That's all right.
I have all these things that I'm like, I couldn't wait all week. I'm like, I can't wait to talk to these guys. I want to get this stuff off my chest.
Here. I know.
Does going first not suck, the worst thing in the whole world?
No, not at all. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I hate going first.
I might agree, because of the way the card, you get the extra card draw and the coin, and that's just too much, I think.
The coin isn't even helpful, though.
Oh, the coin! You running this hunter deck, man? Going two no. turns in a row with three.
But if you
three.
Were if you were going first, you would have that mana that turn anyways. So all you're doing for that one turn is catching up to where your first place is, and then the rest of the turns you're still a mana behind.
But you're also getting card advantage, a huge card advantage early, because it's basically a two card advantage. Isn't that what it is, Derek?
Yes.
No, it's not. That mana crystal does not count as a card.
No, but it's not. But you start off with what? You start off with four cards, and then you get the draw. So you're already an extra card ahead,
you're,
too.
It's one card ahead. Yeah, you're one card ahead versus going first. I can't. Nah.
Just being able to throw out a two cost in the first round or a three cost in the second round.
No, but your round two is, or your round one is their round two. So you, so they're playing that two mana anyways, and they can do that for the rest of the turns of the entire game.
So here's where I've come down on it. So like if I'm playing first, right? So I get three cards and a draw. So I get four cards to start the game, right? If I play first and I don't have a one drop, I can't play.
Yep,
right.
Sure.
However, on my opponent's first turn, if they don't have a one drop, they can play the coin, and at a minimum, even if they don't have a two drop, they can still play their hero ability. They're already ahead. Now, obviously, if you have a one drop, then you're fine.
But going first on turn one isn't what's important. Going first on turn six or turn seven is what's important.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So that's when you're dropping your bomb. And I don't know about you guys, but my games, the games that I'm losing, I've always felt that I'm like one step behind them. Like the winner is always the one who has cards, the opponent plays, and they play an answer. And then you have to play a card, and then they play an answer. And it, like, the momentum goes in that way. And going first is just so strong.
Well, it's very tempo-laden as well. I mean, I mean, this is kind of against the whole first thing, but when you get into a tempo-laden part of the game, you can almost feel when somebody's going, all right, I'm all in. So when somebody, if you can withstand somebody's all in and then counter it, so it's just a matter of when who's all in works better. Because like you said, if you weigh too much, you may not have anything that can completely counteract what they did.
Yeah.
But with the whole first thing, like, here's the way I look at it. I use my Hunter deck as the greatest example. Like, when you get Animal Companion, it's a three cost. If I can throw that out on turn two and then basically throw it out again, or throw out on turn three, throw the exact same thing out, or another three cost minion, or throw out a trap on turn one, I mean, that just stalls everything. You know, because that traps are two cost. If I throw an explosive trap out there, and just seeing, you know, nobody's attacking me with when I throw a trap out there at turn two. I mean, at turn one.
But, all right, hear me out. Let me explain this differently. When you're in that situation, you're throwing out a trap after your opponent has had one turn, right?
Right.
That's what first person does on their second turn. It's the same thing.
Right, but I've stalled them, and I feel like I've gotten advantage back because on that second turn, they may be playing something, but I've kind of almost won a mind game in a way there. I mean, I just still think that second player is a little bit more of an advantage, because of that coin.
Depend, because like if I'm on the draw, not on the play, if I'm on the draw and I can get my creature, if I get a creature out on turn one, right, because I can either get a one drop whereas my opponent didn't have a one drop, or I can make a use the coin and get a two drop. If I get my creatures out on the board, when they bring theirs out, they're not going to be able to do anything to my creature, and I can use my second turn to erase their creature and maintain board state. Potentially, like if I'm a mage and I can hit their 2/1 or something like that, and keep my creature on the board and keep board control. I've seen games where I play on the draw and I'm happy to. Maybe it's situational, maybe it's class dependent. I don't know. I'd have to think more about that. But if I had my druthers, I would probably play on the play every round.
I'd have to look at what...
It's an interesting idea about the late game, though. Like,
yeah.
Who's going first for turn eight? Now you're talking.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Having the mana advantage for one turn isn't enough to give up mana advantage for all the other turns, in my opinion.
I'm gonna have to start. We need to start writing down our records, like keeping a better, see when we're first or second, like what we are. Not to say like overall record who's better or anything, but just see what our personal records are when we go first, or personal records are when we go second.
Right.
Because it'd be an interesting.
And it probably depends on your deck, right? Because if you are an aggressive deck, you want to go first because you probably have turn ones that you want to get out on the board immediately.
Yeah.
But me, especially like, and maybe part of this is I've been playing Rogue where I have the Elven Archer in my deck.
Mm-hmm.
Going second is awesome because if they play anything on turn one, I play her and it deals one damage with Battlecry. I just nuke whatever they played out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, and you also have to look at what all the one drops are, like how many of them are that game changing. But like I said, your main point is later in the game, like whoever gets to seven mana first has an advantage. And I'm not sure, once you get to a certain point in the game, I'm not sure it matters, because everybody's got good things and everybody's got a lot of mana.
No, yeah, and mine isn't a specific turn. Mine is all the turns but one. Player one is getting there first, and that adds up to a huge advantage.
Yeah, perhaps.
It's a good, it's definitely a different way. You know, it's not. It's kind of wasn't the way I was looking at it, but it's definitely a good point. Something I have to look at a little
the
bit
fact
more while
that
I'm
we
playing.
Can, yeah, the fact that we can both make good points probably means that it's fairly balanced, right?
I haven't noticed a particular, you know, am I more likely to win when I'm on the play versus on the draw? I haven't noticed, but in my head, I'm happier when I'm drawing.
Yeah.
And this is the happy Hearthstone. So
yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, when I see that it flips the coin and it says you go first, I'm like, oh. You feel like all the pressure's
on. Damn it, I feel
you.
Like I'm down a card already.
Yeah. See, we should always just play together, because I'll go first, you guys
there you go.
Go second.
Yeah. There you go.
It'll be awesome. All right, so let's keep moving on.
Yep.
So matchmaking thoughts. So, we don't really know how matchmaking is done, right?
I was hoping that you guys did.
Yeah. So I haven't seen anything from Blizzard. As far as I can tell, like anecdotal, it could just be the small sampling size because of the beta currently. Like, it doesn't seem to be basing it on much of anything. Because I'm going in with starter decks and facing people with fully tricked out decks with crazy custom cards. So it's clearly not trying to pair deck versus deck. But I don't know if maybe there's like a player rating behind the scenes.
I was wondering that myself, because I won like the first, I went like 5-1 with my Hunter deck when I first started playing. I was like, I was feeling good about myself, and I was like, all right, let's see how this goes. And then I just got obliterated for like the next 4 games. And I'm like, well, maybe I got so ranked up so high because my Hunter deck was like level 10 or 11 or whatever it ended up getting after that, that I was just playing such good people. And then, you know, and then I was wondering if maybe if I start with a level 1 shaman deck, maybe I'll start playing people again. But then it was still pretty tough.
Mm. Yeah, they do say, I'm looking up stuff as we're talking, like there are at least forum posters saying that Blizzard said that there's like an ELO system behind the scenes. It's probably similar to how StarCraft 2 rankings work.
I would expect
that seems
it.
Like a fair guess.
I believe, well, isn't there kind of like leagues, or is that not the
yeah,
case.
There are. Yeah, so in Hearthstone, if you play ranked, there are, what do they call them?
Well, they allude to ranked a lot. And I was wondering, I guess, is that something that's going to be implemented, I guess, a little bit later?
No, it's actually in right now. It's just kind of hidden. Where, so if you're choosing your deck, kind of it shows like all 9 heroes on the left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In the very top right corner, it's like a brown hexagon. And if you click that, it covers up the big unranked mode with a gem. And that, or like a, then that gem is the symbol of the league you're currently in, basically. So
but
right
I
now,
can
I have a novice medal.
But I can only rank up by playing these types of games. Like, if I just go in and play with a deck I built, am I in that mode or not?
No, you're not. You have to say, I want to go into ranked mode and then play it.
So all the stuff I'm playing is not ranked. I should be... All right, so that was unintuitive.
So if you want to do ranked, definitely got to switch to ranked. But I don't know if they do a matchmaking outside of ranked as well. Like, maybe you have 2 different ratings, or if they base it off your ranked, even if you're not playing ranked.
Well, it says when you select them that it's you're playing based on player skill. And, like, that little wheel comes on, and it's like you've been matched according to your... Unless that's just all...
Yeah, but you have to wonder, how do they qualify skill? It could be as simple as just win-loss ratio. I mean, I doubt that it is, but you could say that it's based on skill and base it on that, you know. So, it'll be interesting to see once more people are in the beta. Have you guys seen, do you feel like you've been pitted against people about your skill level?
Pretty close, although I do lose more often than not, but a lot of the games are super close.
Yeah, I agree. I've played a lot of close games. The arena, I have no idea how I got matched up that first time, because I just got just trounced. And then in my second one, I just obliterated somebody with my shot. You know, I've only played 4 arena matches, so I don't really have a lot of evidence. But my regular play games, I think it's been pretty close. It's kind of like waxes and wanes. Like, you wonder how many people are into beta, and because I actually played somebody back to back, the exact same person back to back when I just hit play.
Yeah, I've done that twice too. So there can't be a ton of people in there currently.
Interesting.
Or else we're crazy lucky / unlucky, depending on if you won. I lost both mine, so.
I mean, if there is a matchmaking mechanism, and it found you to play Jobob, well, it may also find you to play Jobob again because, well, their algorithm is still the same.
Yeah, but in theory, it should see Jobob thrashed me, so yeah. I should get lowered or he should get raised.
I don't know if they would take into account like how bad Jobob beat you. It's probably just that they beat you.
Guess so. I mean, yeah, it really depends how sophisticated they make it.
I don't even think
in
StarCraft 2, I don't think they weight how bad you beat somebody or how bad you were beaten. I think it's just win-loss.
Well, there was a thing on the forums that said that Jobob cheats, though.
That's true. He definitely does. That jerk.
The one thing I would want to clear up for those who are listening about the matchmaking thing that I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that this is the case. If you are playing in the arena, you're only playing against other arena players.
Yes, they have said that before.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are playing not in the arena, you are never playing an arena player.
Correct.
That makes sense because you get some crazy cards when you're drafting arena.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in theory, in the long run, arena will actually be worse decks once everyone has, you know, unlocked everything.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Josh, were you going to... I just wanted to...
Go
back to the cards. Have you seen that Molten Giant? Have you seen that card?
I haven't seen him in game. I saw you talking about him, but I've never played against
him. He's a 20 cost, and he's 8/8, but he basically goes one... He's one cheaper for every life you've lost. So you can get him out pretty cheap later, but by the time you can get him out, and he doesn't do anything special, so it's kind of like any time... I just threw him in a deck just to mess around to see, you know, maybe it'd be a good bomb kind of late if it's close and late. Because, you know, if you're down 15, he's only a 5 cost. So, but every time I get him out there, they're always holding on to something just to throw him, you know, to kill him instantly. So yeah, I just don't know if
honestly,
it's worth a slot.
Of all the cards that are like that... That one probably, I think, is probably my favorite. Because, like, the Sea Giant is a 10 mana, 8/8, costs one less for each other minion on the battlefield. Actually, that's pretty good. I've had the Mountain Giant. If anybody watched my stream of the arena, this guy just, this is exactly the sort of card that makes you make terrible decisions. It's a 12 mana, 8/8, and it costs one less for each other card in your hand. So it encourages you to not play cards. And so you're like not playing cards thinking, oh, you know, just a couple more turns, then I can cast this guy for super cheap. Yeah. But you're just wasting so many turns. It's just never worth it. Oh, man, that guy burned me. So it's like I would rather have Molten Giant than Mountain Giant there. But Sea Giant actually looks pretty awesome too.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to keep tweaking those.
Go with Ironbark Protector. 8/8/8. 8/8 for 8 with taunt.
Yeah, that's solid. Yeah, for druids, that's rad.
Yeah.
I actually haven't played the druid deck at all yet.
I'm starting to love every single class because as I look at the cards that I've accumulated, I'm like, every one of them, I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be fun. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what the ratio is of, like, how many cards of each class do you throw in there? Like, when you're playing your class, how many cards should be class only and how many should be neutral? I'm sure there's going to be some crazy theory crafting where it's like, all right, so every class should have these X cards in them, you know, that you hope that meta doesn't erupt too much. You know, it's like you have to have these 15 cards, then you could have 5 of whatever and 10 have to be of your class. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of where WoW originally was with the whole first class, talent, where it was like every person that does the specs has to have this talent, and you get 2 talents that you can put wherever you want. You know, 2 points. You just don't want... I hope there's enough... I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I hope there's enough wiggle room or enough balance that doesn't erupt.
I think there will be, because I think the decks can be built so specific that there's no way to say, like, everyone should have this. The only exception might be some of those taunt creatures. Like, everyone should have Senjin Sealed Mastas or whatever. But other than that, like... If you're going for like a spell-heavy mage deck or something, or if you're going for a shaman deck that's just about putting wimpies out there and then buffing them, like you're going to want different stuff. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, especially if you start getting a theme deck around, then you could really... There's probably a couple different sets, but almost everybody's going to want those, you know, the one drop, 1/2, draw one. I think it was the one drop, the gnome, right?
It's 2 drop.
Oh, 2 drop, okay.
Yeah, 2 drop, 1/2, draw a card.
So right there, you've got 4 slots. You've got 2 taunts and 2 draws.
Yeah.
That's You know,
and
that's
that Bloodfin Raptor is pretty solid too, man.
Yep. Was that the 3/2?
Yeah, 2 mana 3/2.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So good.
So right there, you got 25% of your deck, or something along those lines. You know, you've got six cards. Oh no, what is that? 1/5? 20%. Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
It adds up.
All right. So let's say, is our records like so far? I just want to put it out there. Derek, you mentioned you're losing more than you're winning, but it's close, you think?
It's definitely not. I'm not 10% wins, but I would say I'm probably more like 30-35% wins, which is it sounds like that would be frustrating, but I think that's a lot of me learning the differences between this games and other games that I've been playing, like Magic and stuff. But the game is super fun, and I'm loving every time I play. Even it's like I can't stop playing. I'm always like, I've seen people tweet left and right about this, but like, just one more game turns into the next 10 games, and it's so true.
Yeah, especially those quests, man, when it's like just need one more rogue win.
Yes,
need that
those
40 gold
kill
or whatever.
Me.
That's so impressive. Good. Derek, are your kids out of the house?
They're asleep usually.
No, because with three, I have two kids, and I have the hardest time getting on most nights. And like you said, I want to play constantly. I want to get on. It's almost like, I hate to admit it, it's almost like a blessing to have to go out of town for work now that I can play Hearthstone the next two nights.
No, for me, it's like, kids, go to bed faster. Go to bed faster.
So yeah, I like to think that I'm 500 after I started off pretty strong and then got destroyed a bit. And I think I've kind of had a good night the last night I played. But I'm probably where Derek said. I bet you I'm probably at 30 to 40%. But in my head, I'm 500.
That's where it counts. And since we're not keeping track, that's all that matters. See, I think I'm actually surprised to hear your guys' numbers so low. I think I'm probably closer to like 40% average now. Honestly, when I was starting, like, when I was cruising through outside of the arena, I think I was probably at like a 60 or 70% win rate, like, for the first few days. But, man, I've been on a losing streak like crazy. It seems like everyone, I kind of already complained about this, but everyone has so many cards, and I'm still just playing with the starter decks, and it keeps pairing me against these people that are, like, playing crazy bombs on, like, turn three. And it's just like, I don't have answers for this. It's honestly been kind of depressing the past few days. Like, I feel forced to the point where it's like, okay, I have to buy packs if I want to have a chance of, you know, having a 50% win ratio.
But it's probably because the extra cards are giving them more combo possibilities as well.
Yeah, more combos. And yeah, I mean, honestly, just some of the epics and stuff are just playing better than what's in the starter deck. And people like, so we'll talk about the Twilight Drake a little later, but people's response were like, oh, just play Silence. It's like, only two of the practice decks have Silence in them. Like, I'm playing a class that doesn't. I don't have access to Silence cards. Like, I can't do that.
The first pack that I won and then subsequently opened had a Spellbreaker in it, which is 4/3 for 4 mana with a Battlecry of Silence Dominion, but he was also a golden card.
Oh, what?
Yes. So I was
like,
yeah.
Well done.
So that's cool.
Man. And you need to send some of your luck my way when I start opening my packs.
Yes.
You know, when you get to play in some of those people, you wonder if those are just happen to be some really good players on. Like you said, how with the matchmaking, you wonder if it's just kind of throwing you randomly and just happens to be that there's some stud people on that have just opened up so many packs and everything else, and it doesn't really have anybody your level to match against.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I honestly think it is just the beta pool being small, because one of the times when that was happening, that was one of the times when I got paired against the same person twice in a row. And so I was just like, okay, there's just not a lot of people on. So I'm really hoping that improves kind of after beta. So I'm not judging the game. I'm not complaining about it. Like, I'm just talking about my experiences, and I don't expect that to be the experience of a lot of people once, you know, the beta fills up.
Have you guys been practicing much against the AI with your decks, or do you just throw them together and go right into play?
PvP all the time.
Yeah, I just needed to unlock all the decks, and once I was there, I thought I was playing in ranked mode, but I guess I'm not, so I'll have to fix that.
yeah, it's funny. I want to see where we end up getting paired. You know, once I'm gonna have to start doing some of the PvP mode, but I just like tweaking the deck so much, and it seems like you can play so much faster against the AI that sometimes, you know, you put a deck together, you see how you do against like the AI. You know, the Warrior, which seems to be a pretty powerful deck for AI, unless it's just the one that gave me problems when I first started. But, you know, you practice against something like that, and then when you just blast them real easy, then it's like, all right, I'm going to bring this out into the real world.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
I don't know, maybe that's just why I need to play a lot more against, you know, get more play more hours in the game, and then I probably won't feel so gun shy.
Stop being such a noob, Dan.
I know. You know, I'm playing bots again. It's my downfall.
So are you guys playing in like big chunks, or are you playing like on the go, or how are you playing?
I kids go down, I clean up a little bit around the house, and I'm on until I go to sleep. So nice. I'll play in like a 3-hour, you know, session or whatever. You know, no on the go. I'm not playing on an iPad or anything like that. I'm playing at my computer, my gaming station.
Yeah, I've been binge playing because I haven't since getting back from Gen Con, and then I had to go right out of town last week for work. And incidentally enough, if anybody out there is in the beta, and if you have any of these problems, I had to use I had some problems with the hotel access that I had. I guess just because of the way that they have their Wi-Fi set up, I had to use a VPN or what.
Yeah.
I had to use that to hide basically what I was doing at the hotel, which I didn't know would have to do, because it wasn't letting me in. So once I actually did that, I was able to play. It was funny because I didn't get it figured out till like the last night I was there, because I actually drove to the first night I was there, I actually drove to a Starbucks to play, because I was able to get on for a couple hours then. And then the next night I figured out the whole VPN thing. So then I was like up extra late, because I was like, all right, I got on, I got to play. So I can't wait till, you know, the next two nights when I'm going to be on the road, I'm going to play. I'm going to get home from work, I'm going to eat something quick, and then I'm just going to play for 4 or 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Just nonstop.
So good. You know what's crazy is I don't even care that all of this is going to reset when the game comes out. I still want to play it all. I still want to unlock it all. I keep telling myself, I'm like, what am I doing? All this stuff gets erased in a few months. And I'm like, I don't care.
I think that makes it even better, you know, because then, you know, you get no matter how bad I do in ranked, I'm going to be at square one again, and then going to be, maybe I love my hunter now, but maybe I'll hate him later. Maybe I'll be a dirty rogue like Josh.
Yeah. sap. Oh, you just played a creature that destroyed your own mana crystal? Sap.
Combo.
So good. All right, so I just want to bring up this real fast, too. We're talking about on Twitter, the Hearth Pro Show guys and Hearthstone Power, two other kind of shows that are out there. We're talking about they were asking what the highest one-turn damage possibility in the whole game was. And this was my thought. I want to see if you guys can think of anything more heavy-hitting than this. A Shaman deck, and your board is filled with the most powerful Wind Fury minions. You do double Bloodlust, because it's 5 mana, so you can cast it twice, and that adds 10 attack to all of your minions, and then just swing out. Yep. Do you guys have any other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, that could probably end any game. If you can actually craft the board state to get that point, you could end the game, because even if they've got like some kind of taunt creatures in the way, you can probably kill whatever's in the way and still kill them.
Yeah, when I saw that you had posted this, in a show notes, I couldn't come up, you know, I would probably have to sit there and look at all the cards for a while, but I was playing a warrior one time, and I want to say it was in that 0-3 arena where he just had a whole board full of monsters, and I didn't have anything with taunt, and he just blasted me for like 16. But I mean, your thing is probably, you know, there's probably things like that with Wind Fury and buffs that will just completely obliterate. You know,
they should keep track of that as like a high watermark in your account. They should say the most damage you've done on your turn is X. The most damage ever done to you is X. The most negative you've ever made an opponent is Y. You know, those kinds of things would be kind of neat stats to just kind of
achievements. It's Blizzard. I'm sure there'll be achievements in there somehow. Yeah.
To keep that like watermark and to know when that updates, like that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
There's a lot of room for growth, and I think they'll probably address a lot of that. I'm sure they've got a lot of things in mind. Like we were talking about I want to see the stats of my deck. You know, when you hover over things, and you know, I want to see the beasts or the minions versus spells, and that I haven't found that. And I'm not sure if you guys have seen that in there. Like we were talking about earlier, how you see the mana curve, but it doesn't go much further than that.
Yeah, that's all I've seen so far.
Okay. I figured you never know because I didn't know how to get into ranked, and you know there's yeah. always something I'm missing.
All right. Also got announced. We had our first Happy Hearthstone duel in game. You guys weren't a part of it. I'm sorry. I should have thought about that, but
always surprise me.
I was busy playing, so
good. It wasn't a full tournament, although you know, like we said, we want to do that soon. So I got announced because I promised Nate I would. Nate Montgomery beat me in an epic best of three series. We live streamed it to everyone that was watching, and he was a gentleman. When we started the match, he left the live stream, so he wasn't watching. The final match was my hunter versus paladin, and he just he smashed me down. It hurt.
Ouch.
So big props to Nate there. He also sent an awesome video of using sheep to kill a mage opponent.
It was sheep to win.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
so good. He had two sheep. I want to see more of this. The time of the sheep has come, I think it's fair to say. We need to let them rise up and kill their mage masters. Yes. It started last week where the sheeps were eating raptors. It was amazing. And now they're just eating mages. What's next? I don't know.
We'll have the chicken uprising will be next.
Yes. Oh, man. Someone's going to find
angry
a way.
Chicken.
All right. So I'm also going to read an iTunes 5-star review. Which may or may not, it's either really new or really old, because iTunes doesn't date it, and I don't remember reading it. But Alan91330 says, love it, best part is card of the day. Alan, you're the best part of my card of the day. But actually, it's card of the week, so try and get it right next time.
Right, or we won't be singing you a lullaby next time.
No, we won't. So let's jump into card of the week right now, and... good news. I know both of you are very nervous. We're all saved from singing this week because of the awesome submissions we got for our contest to record a Card of the Week jingle for us. So I'm going to be playing random ones over the next few months just to use all the best ones we receive, because some of these are so good and they all have to get their time in the spotlight.
Sweet.
This week, we're going to start with the winner submitted by Joe Henshaw.
Card of the
So the card of the week this week, as foretold by the prophecy of about 20 minutes ago when I was speaking, the Twilight Drake. This is a 4-mana neutral minion. It is a 1/1. So Derek, vanilla test?
Yeah.
A 4-mana for 1/1?
Yeah.
Alright, and it's got the battle cry, gain +1/+1. So battle cry happens when you play the card. So the minion gets +1/+1 for each card in your hand.
Boom. Boom. So indeed. You need three. Let's see. Is the card still in your hand when you're casting it, or is it technically out
of your hand?
I don't
think so, because I think it's okay. When the creature lands on the field.
Right.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I think. When it hits the battlefield.
It means you need at least to be holding three cards when you cast it, and a 4-mana drop. I guess you assume turn 4. Now you're back to even. So if you've got him plus three cards in your hand, you play him, you're probably fine. If you got more, it's all upside. But the problem is that people see this, and it's a trap, because you're gonna look at it and you're gonna say, "Oh crap! Now I'm just gonna, you know, wait till I've got 17,000 cards in my or whatever the max is, 10 cards in my hand, and then play him." And meanwhile, you're at one health. So.
Dude, I don't know if it's much of a trap, though, because this guy trapped me a bunch of times as the enemy. For 3 games, I've had this drop on turn 4 as a 9/9 against me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
yeah,
nice.
It seems to be amazing in Warlock decks when they can life tap for 2 turns and then play this guy just to get more cards in their hand. Because, like, at that point, if you don't have a solid removal... like, it's just GG. Because it's 3 turns and that guy's eating your face and you're done.
I actually haven't even seen this guy played yet, and I haven't even seen him... I don't even think I've gotten his card yet. But I agree with Derek where you're probably going to end up with at least 3 cards in your hand by the time you can play him. But like you said, Josh, if you can get those 2 extra cards for 2 turns right before it, that's crazy advantage. And then, you know, you're talking like... that's probably more 3 or 4 for 1. If you can get that, you know, if you can get at least a 7/7 or an 8/8, you know, that's a pretty powerful card.
Yeah, I like this a lot. This is my favorite card of this type, because we already mentioned, like, you know, the giants or whatever, and it's like they cost less. But I like this because you can play it as a 1-1 if you have to. You know, like, if that's really what you need to do. Whereas the other cards, you can't play them until you hit a threshold. Like, this one you can play as a 2-2 if that's really what you need at the time. But it has that potential to be just a monster.
The biggest caveat I have on this card is that it's only that powerful if you draw it initially or very, very early. Because if you draw it anywhere near mid-game, you're probably going to only have one or two cards, you know, maybe three in your hand at most at the time of it. So, I mean, it's still going to be worth it. Like you said, Josh, you're probably going to have enough mana to make it at least a little bit worth it. But if you get it out and it's a 2-2, it's going to be a huge letdown for you.
Yeah. But so I'm curious how you guys feel about cards like this. Cards that are like, okay, if you draw it at a certain time, they can basically win you the game. But if not, they're kind of a letdown. Do you like risky cards like that? Or do you want cards that are always, you know, even if they can't attain the same peaks as this card, you know, are always consistent?
So, yeah, consistency, knowing what I've known from playing Magic, consistency is king. If you have a deck that performs very consistent, it will do really well. If it's going to have, like in a tournament, you have to win consistently to make it to the finals of the tournament, right? So if that's really where your aim is, then a card like this is not going to help you win a tournament. It may help you win any particular individual game. But I guess that's the it depends on the scenario. Yeah, and keep in mind, you're not always in it to win a tournament. You're in it to, like, have fun. And if you have fun by playing a 9-9, then by all means, play this kind of card.
I'm a sucker for cards like this.
Yeah?
Because I'm like one of those, I guess we call it the Timmy player. Is that what it is, Derek?
Yeah.
Because the one time that I get it out, it's 9-9, and I'm like, oh yeah! And then the rogue throws out the rogue throws out an assassinate the very next turn, and I'm like, oh.
And Timmy cries.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. See, I think Derek, you made a really good distinction, because this is the sort of deck I want to have in my constructed deck that I'm just, you know, queuing against random opponents. Because I do want those moments where I feel really cool. but in the arena, this feels like a temptation card that I should probably just avoid.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, if any of the other options are, you know, are just decent creatures, just stick with those. You know those will always be good. You'll never be sad when you top deck, you know, a 3-3 taunt. But you can be sad when you top deck this guy.
Yeah. A one of, it's not horrible to have a one of. It'd be probably dangerous to have a two of, because one of those two is probably going to be coming fairly late, consistently. So it's just going to make it worse.
All right. I think that does it for today, guys. We have full show notes, along with links to all the videos, trailers, information, live stream, everything we're doing in the Hearthstone beta, over on the blog, www.gamediplomat.com. Just swing by there, click on Hearthstone at the top, you'll see everything. As always, we'd love to hear what you thought of the show, especially new listeners that we got from all the people getting excited about the beta. Let us know what you like, what you don't like about the show, what you want to see added in future episodes. You can contact me directly on Twitter. I am @JAugustine, or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com. Derek, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as well, at repayinkind.
Awesome. And Dan, what about you? What are you up to? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at geekjockblog, or you can check out the Geek All-Stars podcast, which Josh is terribly overdue for a visit. I gotta have to get you on here for another visit.
I know, we'll do it. Let's just cut half of this episode and throw it on yours.
Yeah, I'll just throw it on my feed, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to hear the rest, visit Dan's podcast.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to do a nice two-parter where we have the three of us on mine as well.
That'd be cool. And we should leave it on a terrible cliffhanger. It'll be like,
what is on
guys.
Josh's finger tonight?
And the card of the week is, stay tuned.
Yes. So confusing, so terrible. We won't do it, I promise. You can also join our Google Plus community, though. Join the 1,600 people that are in there now talking about Hearthstone. And we're all talking about Hearthstone every day, all the time, every times, any times.
As should you.
Agreed. Just go to Google Plus, search for Happy Hearthstone, you'll find it. Thanks again, guys, for being on the show and taking the time. It's been fun.
No, thank you guys.
Yes. Yes, keep playing. Well, for those of you in the beta, keep playing. It's fun.
Yeah. And everybody else, you'll be there soon. And yes, you could probably, I'm sure Derek and Josh will agree. If you guys, if anybody out there that's not in there has any questions for us or any comments, just feel free to tweet us or throw it in the Google Plus. I mean, we love talking. We love this game so much right now that we would talk about it, like you said, all day, every day. Yes. So yeah, feel free to tweet us anything, because I love this game.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we're all live streaming, or we will be hopefully by the time this is out. What I've been doing with the live streams, if people want to see specific cards or do anything, like, I'll just tour around the game and show you whatever you want. So, I mean, just hop into our live streams, too. The live stream links will be in the show notes as well if you want to check us out. I'm streaming probably once every, like, couple days, and then we'll get Derek and Dan in there soon, too. And then you can watch us all the time.
Yeah, once we figure out, I'm sure once me and Derek figure out how to get it going, we will we'll have it as much as we can.
We'll just do shift rotation and be like, all right, it's your turn.
Tag.
Your turn to sleep.
Perfect. It goes in with our cliffhanger, you know, rotating between podcasts. We're rotating live streams now, too.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time in the beta.
Stay happy, everybody.
See ya. Have fun.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Susan, need that beta key. She took the midnight train going anywhere. But for real though, I really want that Hearthstone beta key. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. No, but for real, really, he took the midnight train going anywhere.